It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is why I really believe this, and it's, and I have to like keep prefacing by saying I really believe it, because the world of sports talk and sports entertainment shows, there's a lot of guys that say stuff to get reaction. I'm not doing that for that reason, and I'm not some knee jerk thing. I really believe, like, what I want to go into Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and John Mara's office. Or what's the point of this season for you guys? Really, what's the point of it? Because if you want to save it, then you should seriously consider making a move now to Drew Lock. And here's the reason why.
Not a great alternative.
Let me explain this.
And just go to Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, and I maybe end up going there too. And I'm not saying that Drew Lock is some sort of hero, but here's something that he is. And he's proven to this point in his career, he's got so much more energy than Daniel Jones has. And you don't have to worry about ruining Daniel Jones. Like one of these things, well, if we bench him, we're never going to get him back. He's already gone. He's already done. And he's not ready to play off of that injury as well. That's clear. He stinks to begin with. He stinks out loud when he has to deal with a rehab and an injury like this. So to me, it's, what's the point of this season? You just want to sit here and die and have nobody pay attention to you again and maybe limp to a season where there's another regime change? Is that what you want? Or do you want to try to salvage something? Because you already lost one of these two games we said you had to win if you had any shot of being relevant this year. And now you got another one on the road next week. And we'll talk about the Commanders and Jaden Daniels. Very weird, in my opinion, debut for him. There's a lot of different stuff in there. Just confusing, actually.
Well,
very confusing.
It was kind of like Anthony Richardson in the Colts.
Just confusing.
Thing, yes.
But anyway, so Drew Lock, at the very least, will provide some energy and something different for a franchise that just has always seems to die quicker than anybody else.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Excited for Chapter 2 of The Sims Spotlight here on Boomer and Geo. That's brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. Saw Phil before the game on the field at MetLife Stadium. I have to say, and normally we start these things with insults back and forth, but I'm going to start this one with a compliment. You look jacked on the field, Phil. I don't normally see you with the arms out, and you had a polo on, and your arms were humongous.
Really?
In a good way. You were jacked, man. Good for
you.
Wow,
I am. You're almost making me humble here. This is unbelievable. You know, somebody, one of my teammates said something. Oh, you trying to show your arms? I said, yeah, I said, I'm going to not even lie. I did about 15 sets of curls the other day.
I will say one thing.
I said, yes, I really did. So
I will say one thing, Phil. They were pasty. Man, they were pasty.
Oh, see, you know,
I tried to do a nice thing.
No,
Debbie Downer, there you are.
Yeah, but, okay. But your arms were pasty. Hey, do you believe or do you agree with what Carl Banks said? That Lawrence Taylor
said. Can we talk a little bit before we get right into the business? I mean,
We got a very condensed spot with you, and I got to get as much information out of possibly can. So
you
shut
up. You usually do.
You usually call me
never give me credit for anything. So shut up. So, right. Gio,
one thing
you said this morning is right, Gio.
Yeah.
When Boomer gives you a gift, you've got to slobber all over it because that's what he wants. Just, oh, thank you, Boomer. You're the greatest. Oh, thank you, thank you. And then you really can't thank him enough because he, you know, hell, I don't know. And the sweatsuit, when I saw it, I went, oh, my God, looks like a triple XL. Just what the hell does he think of you?
It's
well, though. I saw it.
It's a large, but yes, it looked a little bigger. But, I mean, it fits perfectly, and I know it's probably tough for you to see this purple once again after what happened in MetLife Stadium. But, yes, wonderful Vikings polo.
All right, so let me get back to the question now that you've distracted everybody. The question was, Carl Banks basically said he was talking to Lawrence Taylor, because all you guys were there celebrating the 100th season, the top 100 players. It was a great scene for all of you guys. Lawrence was not happy with the way the team was playing and how they looked, and that he could put 22 guys together right now out of that top 100 group that was there and go out and play better than the Giants did. Do you agree with that?
Well, there's certain things to that. One, if he put 22 of us together, we wouldn't even be able to run out for the introduction. So let's be serious there. But I understand what he was saying. Look, on the field before the game, which a lot of us were, and the energy in the stadium and everything like that, then you go upstairs and we're watching a little, and it just falls apart really right before your eyes. It was really disappointing. And, you know, we didn't have any stake in the game, all the ex-players, but it was amazing how everybody kind of took it, not personal, but just going, dang, we thought this was a game the Giants could win. And I thought that too. But as I was watching the game from above, I went, wow, Minnesota looked bigger. They look faster. And, wow, they are extremely well coached. So I'll give them credit there.
All right, so again, let me ask you about Daniel Jones's performance. He's been getting ripped left and right. You know, I questioned the way that he played. I thought that he was nervous. He looked, the word I used was skittish. That word was used back to describe Eli Manning back in 2007. Your initial reaction, then watching the tape, your reaction after that?
Well, a little thing, I'm not going to say I couldn't sleep Sunday night, but I couldn't wait. I just wanted to see the game again and really watch it. I got up to listen to Al and Jerry, and I was really disappointed they weren't on TV. I'm serious. It was 10-5. I said, well, I'll watch those two before I, you know, whatever, let me see. And then Al just informed me that he's not on. I didn't know they weren't on TV. So, Al, I mean, you have no pull, no clout. I mean, they just crapped on you and Jerry both, but whatever.
Well, yeah, what was Phil, you're not going to believe this. They don't even get paid to do that hour here by the radio station. So, I mean, it's really bad.
Well, you know, Al's not the sharpest thing in the drawer, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, whatever. But listen, I will say that, Boomer, I heard you say that, and I understand you saying it too, because that would be the definition of what a lot of people who follow the game would say about Daniel Jones. Me, I thought he was making decisions way too fast. In other words, hey, I'm supposed to throw it right on this play, and as he was dropping back, oh, I don't like it, let me go somewhere else. And, you know, if he'd have stayed with the original read, I think, and, you know, I didn't put down how many number of plays, he would have had more success. And you hear me say this all the time, and CBS and everywhere. When you're quarterback in an NFL team, there's a lot of routine throws in the game. And that was one thing, too. I thought the Giants and Daniel Jones, they just missed too many routine plays where the guy's open. It might be a 4 or 5 yard gain, but always remember, well, sometimes they do break tackles and get extra yards. So that would, you know, bothered me a little bit. And you just got to settle down in those games and be more relaxed, like I've heard you say, too. You have to be that way. You know, you look at Sam Darnold. I give him a lot of credit. I thought he played really well, but he never got flustered. He was pressured early. He threw the ball as well as I've ever seen him throw it. They had a great game plan on offense, and I'm going to tell you, the Minnesota defense, they had an awesome plan, and they were ready for everything the Giants were showing them, and they executed it very well.
I guess the thing that I was most disappointed with outside of Daniel Jones and the interception, that the pick six, was the lack of pass rush from guys that I think the Giants absolutely need if they're going to be competitive at all this year. What'd you see from Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns specifically that was keeping them neutralized in the game?
Well, Brian Burns, like I'm sure all defensive ends think about after games, and, oh my God, I was so close. I could have been – He played with such abandon, it was incredible watching him play. And he was close many, many times of, you know, disrupting plays. He did disrupt quite a few plays. There's no doubt about that. And he disrupts it. When that's what he is, too, when he came here. You know, I talked about it. I watched him in Carolina. He would disrupt the play, and somebody else would be there to finish it off for the sack or whatever it is. And I didn't see that, you know, from the Giants. Now, Dexter Lawrence, he was fantastic, as usual, watching him play. I mean, when he was singled up, man, I can't imagine any center that plays the Giants goes, oh, let me single up against Dexter Lawrence, because you lose every time. And so those two, I thought, on defense really showed tremendous effort, and they I thought they played well, both of them.
All right, so let's move forward as we talk to Phil Simms about the Giants right now, and then we'll get to the Jets in a second.
Well, let me say this, too, real quick, yeah. Boomer. The Giants, as you watch the game, they did a lot of shifting, a lot of motion. And, you know, everybody knows Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator at Minnesota. He likes to get after you and blitz a lot and all that. They did not do that. They faked it. They did a lot of different stuff. I'm sure the Giants, I would just think, they were like, wow, we expected some blitzes and give us a chance to throw it deep down the field, which you were talking about, you know, all week, that you thought the Giants were going to fire it down the field, but they really didn't have the chances because of the way Minnesota played. And the two guys they went out and got, Van Ginkle, oh, my God. I mean, he's just got a – he just knows how to play, plus he's got talent. And then who's the other guy they went out and got? Oh, Jonathan Gennard, the pass rusher, another guy. Harrison Phillips, he played so well for him, they gave him a contract on Monday. So, you know, Minnesota really did a good job on defense preparing for
the
game.
Yeah, I mean, the other team definitely gets credit. I mean, but this, like we all thought, this was a game where the Giants were in their weight class, everybody seems to be saying these days.
Well, I thought so, too.
Yeah, and unfortunately...
I was standing on the field before the game, I said, oh, my God, there's no way they can lose because the crowd was on fire. And, you know, I said, man, this is going to be tough on Minnesota. And it was a little bit early, but they hung in there, and then they did the better job executing plays.
All right, so much for that. The one thing I will say about the crowd, and you know this because you experienced this as a player, I tried to explain it to Gio, that, you know, when you're playing in front of your home crowd and things are not going well, especially in your sixth year and the boos are raining down, you know, in the first quarter, and they're coming right at you, and you know that, it's not easy to play with that kind of anxiety. I mean, you feel it as a player.
Yeah, you can. And, you know, it's just how do you take it, and how do you feel about it, and what are you going to do? Do you do it by like, hey, I don't care? Parcells would say sometimes, hey, you can't be afraid to go down in flames. So you got to be thinking and playing hard and just keep playing. And I'm not saying the Giants didn't do any of that, but they just never had they never got into any rhythm, especially on offense in the whole game, where you thought, oh, they can come back and they can get it done. It just didn't look like that any time watching games.
All right, so here we go. Let me just ask you this now. Next week they go to see the Commanders, and it's Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels had, as Gio pointed out, a very weird game. It was very awkward. Yes. There are a lot of crazy things that happened because he is an incredible athlete, but he obviously doesn't understand the NFL yet. This is his first foray into this. You know, he may run himself into some sacks, but if he plays the way that he played this past week, I don't necessarily know he's going to make it past week 2, 3, or 4.
Yeah, they'll learn. They'll learn. And his speed is really, truly, it is incredible watching him play. He might be the fastest quarterback in the NFL. But, you know, he took too many chances running the ball, too. You know, you can't sit there and let him get those free hits on you as you're running. He'll learn that and all that. But overall, what they do on offense, Boomer, is so simple. It seems like every pass is 2 yards down the field, 5 yards down the field, or mostly behind the line of scrimmage. And if he doesn't like it, if it's not super clean and easy to see, then he's going to run. And that's what the Giants, I would think, the number one thing on defense, let's try to keep him in the pocket. Don't overplay the pass rush and make him throw from the pocket to beat you. If you do that, I think it gives the Giants a great chance to do this. And listen, Baker Mayfield, he destroyed the Washington defense. I don't expect the Giants to do that, But, man, they threw it at will. The numbers were great. And Baker Mayfield was, he was tremendous against Washington's defense. And last year, they were terrible in pass defense. And it looks like they could be the same again this year. So we'll see how that goes.
I know you don't like it when, you know, guys like me, you're going to be disrespectful for those who work in the league. So I'll put this kindly. I don't think very highly of Cliff Kingsbury and what he does offensively.
Right.
And they went down the field to Terry McLaurin one time in that game. And Jaden Daniels has got a, as quick as he is, he also can throw the ball amazingly well down the field. I think, yes, Cliff Kingsbury is going to ruin this guy. I mean, am I off base on that with the way that they played offense on Sunday?
I'm not going to say you're off base. No, not at all. But I will say this. It's the first start on the road with a rookie quarterback. So I'm sure I can hear the meetings. All right, let's just be careful. Let's don't give him too much. And let's play really conservative because we don't want it to backfire in our first game and all that. Well, if that was your objective, it really worked against Tampa Bay. So I would expect a more aggressive game plan. And I know what you're saying about Cliff Kingsbury. I kind of think the same way. It's still the college offense. And not that that's wrong, but I haven't seen it work real well in the NFL. So you are definitely on it when you talk about Cliff Kingsbury. But I think this week they know they're going to go down the field, be a little more aggressive in the pass game.
Yeah, I would think so, especially against the Giants secondary that is not that great. All right, so Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, what are your initial impressions of what you saw on Monday night?
Well, many things. Mason, the running back, I thought I was watching Earl Campbell play for the Houston Texans. Holy Christ. And it was unbelievable. And, you know, the thing about Kyle Shanahan and the Jets had to face, you know, they, even back with his dad, I did many games in Denver. And if you made more than one move as a running back, you were allowed one little cut because it's make it and go. And, you know, you watch the game, and I don't think one run in that whole game where they did anything where they stuttered their feet or anything. It's a quick little cut and pour it in there. So the Jets, I mean, I was shocked. They had no chance stopping the run. No matter how they lined up, they tried many different fronts. It didn't work. But Aaron Rodgers, that's the big thing. Listen, his arm looked unbelievable. I mean, maybe as good as I've seen it. But the movement, the play selection, once again, very careful, all these things. And, you know, I was just disappointed in the Jets offense. I thought I'd see more chances, throwing it down the field even more than they did. So we'll see what they do this week.
Their defense got shredded, and I understand it's the 49ers and one of the most talented and best offenses in the league. Rob Saleh said that the defense was an easy fix. Do you see it as an easy fix?
Well, yeah, they're not going to play the 49ers again this year, so that's going to help.
Yeah.
And one thing. But, yeah, I think you can, you know, by different fronts, using more defensive linemen, whatever, just play a little different. But I don't have any words to be concise about that. But I understand what he's saying. It's they can do it, but, gosh, that was really tough. And let me say this. I hear you guys this morning. The Tennessee Titans, this is going to be – it's going to take everything the Jets have to beat the Tennessee Titans in their opening game down there in Nashville. I mean, the Titans' offensive line is good. They got players on defense. They got wide receivers now. And I know Will Levis made the bonehead play of the year against the Chicago Bears, always a big but. But if you take that one play away, he almost played a perfect game for him. And I think he's a different looking quarterback than I saw last year. Saw it in preseason. I saw it in the game against the Bears. But that one mistake, that was the one that cost him the football game.
Yeah, you know, you talk about taking a step down in offensive weight class. This would be it. I mean, you know, the Titans, while they do have players, and they spent almost $300 million on free agency in the offseason. And I was telling Gio this morning, I said, look, this defense is a really good defense. They still have Jeffrey Simmons in the middle of it, and it's not going to be easy. And the pass rush is going to be good. This is just who they are. But the big deal is that they are taking a step down when it comes to playing against a quarterback like Will Levis as opposed to Brock Purdy, who is the perfect fit for that offense in San Francisco. That's the big difference.
It is. I didn't even say that. I got to say this. Brock Purdy, he didn't play well. He played really well. And Boomer, I don't know if you noticed, I thought he threw the ball with more power than he has in previous years. I thought his decision-making, his placement of the football, all that was tremendous. It really was. But the Tennessee defense, Harold Landry, they got a rookie. When you see him line up over the center of the guards, you're going to go, is that two people or what? It's unbelievable.
As a first-round pick, yes.
Yeah, their second-round, Devondre Swift. Yeah, I mean, he is, and he's a player, too. But they got, you know, the other thing, you think about, oh, can the Jets open up their offense and throw the football? Well, they're going to be going against L'Jarius Sneed and Chinobe Awuzie, who they got from Cincinnati. So those are two really good corners, and this is going to be a really interesting game. The Jets' defense needs to be, to me right now, maybe more important in this game to win it for them than looking at the Jets' offense. Because going against Tennessee's defense, playing down there, their crowd would be crazy. It's going to be a tough way to win a game, but I think the Jets can do it.
What'd you think of Tom Brady's broadcasting debut on Fox?
Oh, man, I did listen to it, of course. I thought he did well. You know, listen, that first game and learning, I don't care how much you practice. Once you get that game, you know, a little different energy and feelings, and you're second-guessing maybe some of the things you say. But I thought overall he did a good job. And, you know, the one thing I wanted to hear, why is it not working? What did you expect from the Cleveland Browns? Or, you know, what was their game plan? Things like that.
Deshaun Watson is a mess. He plays the position of I don't know how Tom Brady did that game without criticizing Deshaun Watson. I mean, because he plays the game differently than Tom Brady ever played it, and runs out of the pocket for no reason, can't seem to process down the field. And I'll tell you what, man, right now the Browns have buyer's remorse, and it's a $230 million contract that is an anchor around their proverbial, I would say, salary cap neck, because not only did they give up the assets to get him, they also paid him this ungodly contract that's going to kill the Browns.
Yeah, well, listen, Tom Brady, 4 weeks from now, if he had Deshaun Watson play that way, he'll get him. You know, the picture doesn't lie, and you got to tell the truth when you're doing these things, and sometimes it's not easy, but yeah, Deshaun Watson, not the same guy, doesn't have the speed, doesn't have the bounce, his arm doesn't look as good. I know he had the shoulder surgery and all that, but it's like he's just playing mean or angry, and he's not thinking as much as he should. Now, I didn't watch the game and, you know, closely to see if he was making good decisions all the time, but it looked bad on TV, so it had to be pretty bad in the film room, too.
Hey, by the way, we're going to pile into Shea Sims on October 20th, on Sunday, October 20th. We're coming over. We're going to watch the game. You're going to cook for us.
Okay, listen, first and foremost, I'll tell you when you're coming over. You're not telling me. Okay. And yes, and well, never mind. I'll just won't say what I was going to say. That's for sure.
Well, but, we're coming over.
Yeah,
the
I'm looking
20th.
Forward to that. Actually,
yeah. All right. So we're coming over 20th.
Well, okay. I'll look at my schedule, see if that works out for me.
Just so you know that Al Dukes is gluten free. You know, and he doesn't eat meat.
What? No.
He doesn't.
No,
well, we're going to hold him down and make him eat it.
No. Yeah, I do.
What would you like Phil to make you, Al?
Hamburgers are good. Oh, I always like that. Yeah, chicken sauce.
Okay. Al, I make great hamburgers.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you're going to love them. Of course, steak. I do eat. I'm not one of those guys. I do eat meat. Probably 3 or 4 times a week now. So
you look like you eat meat now.
That's why he's all jacked.
Yeah, I know. He does look like he eats meat. Hey, by the way, but you are gluten free with the buns and stuff, right?
Well, I don't eat any buns, so no buns needed.
Oh, you want lettuce around your hamburgers?
No, just hamburger and a plate is good for me.
A hamburger and a plate.
I tell you what, Al, I'll feed you, then we'll go downstairs in my weight room and we'll just get you a little pump so you know you can wear some t-shirts and stuff or whatever. I don't know.
Okay. A little swole.
How about you, Gio? You want to get down there and get a little pump?
Yeah, I haven't lifted weights since the year 1999. I'm not kidding.
Last year, good for you.
High school football. So sure, I'll break that streak with you at Shea Sims.
Well, you guys, and listen. You're funny. You do a lot of great. But listen, you're golf. I mean, come on. Man, what do you do? Oh my God. Oh, let's play golf. We're gonna play golf today. So you're playing today, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So what is the wager gonna be? What do y'all wager when you go?
Well, we're gonna be playing against two guys like you, who are pretty good. Not great, but pretty good. Mm-hmm. And our wager would probably be like a 20-20-40 or a 40-40-80, something like that. Nothing big.
Oh, okay.
It's just about taking a little bit of money, making sure the money changes hands. That's basically what it comes down to.
You got to put something on it.
Yep. Yes.
And what's your handicap now, Gio?
It's a 20.4 index. At this place, it'll probably be like a 23, something like that.
Okay. And Boomer, what's yours, you cheating dog? Go ahead, tell me.
8, right around an 8.
Here, Boomer, you are a pro quarterback.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, what are you, 8?
Yeah, you know,
What are you playing, right-handed?
No, man. You know, I just, you know, just the way it is.
Yeah, you like to keep it nice and comfy. I know what you do, but okay.
Good for you. All right, Phil. Great talking to you.
All right, guys.
Talk to you next week, man.
All right, good. Thanks for having me on.
All right, see you, brother. Phil Sims. And that Phil Sims Spotlight is brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit Balance of Nature.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, taking your calls on the Giants. We'll get to the Jets as well throughout the course of the show. Now, I know this sounds crazy today, and obviously I was as angry and frustrated as anybody yesterday watching that slop by the Giants and the result, the whole thing. But it is just 1 week, and it is just 1 week in an NFL where the majority of teams were sloppy to begin. As we talked about going into the season, this is the way that it is now. The first few weeks of the season is essentially a preseason before teams find their footing. I don't think the Giants are going to make the postseason. I never said that. We said that, you know, max out, maybe 9-10. But I
didn't think that.
I still think, well, we said, well, you're right. You asked me what I thought the absolute ceiling was, and I said 10.
I think you said 9. Whatever,
9-10 absolute ceiling for this team. But I also think, you know, if we go just based on their over-under number coming in, which is 6.5, I did bet that. And I do believe it's still going over. Like, I'm not ready to, even though we said if they lose this game to the Vikings, the Giants will not be as bad as they were yesterday, which was as bad as you can possibly be. They won't be that bad the rest of the way. Now, there may be some ugly games against teams that are better than them.
Yep.
But and there's a reason why I'm saying it. And it's the only reason why you could possibly say it. Well, I mean, there is some individual talent that I like. And I don't think the defense is as bad as it may have seemed yesterday. I think the defense will be fine. I believe in Brian Daboll as a head coach. Now, yesterday was certainly not a game that you would say that you believe in him as a head coach because it was all on him. It was god-awful every step of the way. But ultimately, if I believe in Daboll, and I do, based on what I've seen from him here as a head coach, I think the Giants will show more competitiveness and be in these games moving forward, be a little bit closer. What does that mean record-wise? I don't know, but I'm still not giving up on the over 6.5 just because yesterday was as bad as it possibly could be.
What if they lose to the Commanders?
Well, I mean, it depends on how, no?
Well, in terms of the 6.5. I mean, if you're 0-2 going into the rest of the schedule now, right. I mean, we said the Vikings game, kind of must have. Right. All right, you don't get that. Well, better get the Commanders
and
game.
And also, it would be symbolic of the season. Like, there's no way. I can't sit here and defend yesterday's performance. It's unacceptable. What I can do is just say, all right, it's one game. Now, it's not just one game because it's been a couple of years here, but in Daboll's first year, they got to the postseason, right? Overachieved by every step of the way.
No doubt.
Every count measurable. Last year, even in a year, remember, we had the same conversation early in the year, and we were saying, oh, well, now they're going to win 3 games or, you know, under 6.5, whatever the number was, they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. And they weren't because Daboll dug them out almost to a detriment because then they ended up getting the 6th pick as opposed to a top 3 pick. And we'd be having a totally different conversation, which I wish we had. But anyway, Daboll got the team playing to a point of respectability. I think he'll do that. I'm not just going to go nuts with week one. Now, if they do this again next week to Washington, maybe I change my tune a little bit. I still think, BT, I mean, look, you saw some upsets yesterday as well around the league. That's why I'm trying not to go nuts. Yesterday was awful, don't get me wrong. Awful, embarrassing, pathetic, unacceptable, cannot happen, period.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's who the Giants truly are. I think that they're somewhere in between a good team and what they were yesterday.
I know they're not a good team. That I have no problem saying. Are they going to be a wretched team?
You know, I'm not going to lay it on that thick right now.
They beat Cleveland week three?
I don't think that they will. I mean,
they could be 2-1 going into the Cowboy game.
They're not going to be 2-1. That would stun me.
Yeah.
Listen.
Right, because of them, less about the opponents and more about.
Yeah, right. More about their own house and less about the others, I guess. Now, I do think that the Giants, I'll meet you here. I don't know that they'll be this bad every week. They won't. But that doesn't mean that they're going to be good enough to be interesting or to placate their owner. See, the bigger issue, there's a couple of ways you judge franchise, and I know it's very early for this, and I don't want to keep harping on this, and I won't after every single game, but it's just, for me to be consistent with my preseason takes, I need to point this out. There's the results evaluation, which, yeah, obviously, right. Bottom line business,
right.
But then there's the optics, and then there's the close your eyes, what does the stadium sound like? Think about that, guys. If you're not driving, close your eyes and take yourself back to MetLife yesterday. And now put yourself in John Mara's shoes. What'd you hear?
He's got to be.
And I don't mean the cheers for Coughlin and LT and Phil and Eli ring the bell. He's got to be beside himself. Now, the difference, yeah, the Commanders lost. They didn't look great. But guess what? Like, at least you got Jaden Daniels.
Correct.
Who put 20 points on the board and can move.
That's why I wanted the quarterback. This regime needed the quarterback. They chose Daniel Jones. By the way, the owner... He chose Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he did.
He loves Daniel Jones.
He influenced that.
He can't
that.
Get enough of Daniel Jones. It's the excuses. The offensive line is the problem. Oh, we don't have enough weapons. Oh, we've done everything we could to screw this kid up. Wrong, wrong, wrong. He stinks. He ain't it.
Now, hold on a sec, though. Now, I'm going to push back a little.
Yeah.
He's not it. We know that. He's not it here. Let's take Sam Darnold. Because down the hall, I was screaming the same thing when I was with Tiki.
All right, but the Jets were a dysfunctional mess.
So are the Giants. Nah, they've had one good year in 15 seasons.
But they did make the playoffs. Like, that did happen. They took Daniel Jones, who can't throw the football down the field,
to a
playoff game.
All right, I got you. That's
true. That is a big difference. Like,
that did happen, and I almost don't want to do this, but it matters. The schedule was soft, very soft.
Understood.
All right, okay, so... Jones is not it. Nobody's pushing back on that. And he's definitely not it here. Could he be it somewhere else? I mean, Giant fans don't want to hear this, but I actually think that he could be.
Oh,
I mean, Sam Darnold, Sal, we were talking on Friday. You were laughing at Sam Darnold. Yeah. I said, this guy's better than you. I'm not making him a star. Right. The point is you have to accentuate the fact, well, not only Justin Jefferson, but when you have a better offensive line and a better scheme and a whatever, when you're thrust into the worst situation like Darnold was Jones was early.
He's a backup. Like, he's been gone from the Jets now for years, and he's still a backup.
Darnold?
Yeah.
Well, but I understand that. But he watched last year. He watched a top-flight organization go about their business with the 49ers. And then McCarthy gets hurt. He takes over the reins. How'd he look? Boom, 12 for 12.
Well, I mean, it'd be nice
12
if,
for 12.
It'd be nice if one of those stud giant defensive edge rushers touched him.
And he came on play yesterday? Yeah. Did he get a tackle?
I mean,
did he get a half a tackle?
Well, when you're anticipating, at least when I was anticipating this game, I'm thinking the Giants defense is going to get to Sam Darnold and force turnovers and hit him and make him uncomfortable. Any quarterback that makes it to the NFL should be able to sit back there with a clean pocket and make the right throws. And he did do that. And maybe Darnold looked better than I thought he would yesterday, certainly. But if he were a player, then other teams would have taken him to start. Like, the league needs good quarterbacks. Sam Darnold has been a backup even after he left. So Daniel Jones, to me, he's not an NFL player. He will get cut eventually by the Giants, and he will not stick with the
NFL. When's he getting benched? I mean, at what point is this? You know, again, honestly, at what point? Giant fans want to bench now. I'm going to answer my question first. I would not bench him going to the Commanders game. I would not. But I'm telling you right now, if he shows what he showed yesterday, I'm yanking him at halftime. That's it. You're not playing.
I don't think you could bench him now either, because that's their plan going into the year. Like, that plan to me was flawed. I would have never have had Daniel Jones be my starting quarterback. I wouldn't have had it year one with Shane and Daboll. I certainly wouldn't have it year three with Shane and Daboll. You can make a case for year two with them because you're coming off the playoff success.
Yep.
But there's no way he should be the starting quarterback going into this year. But that is their plan.
Doesn't mean you have to stick with
it. Yeah, you can't get away from it. Week two for what? For Drew Lock?
Why'd you sign Drew Lock? Yeah. Why'd you sign if you didn't think that? If they're
week two, you're going to make that decision?
Sal,
then why was Daniel Jones the week one guy?
Well, but Sal, we saw Hard Knocks. We saw the conversation at the Senior Bowl. Like, the Giants did everything that they could to find a quarterback. If they didn't, like, if they really believed in Jones, number one, they wouldn't have tried to trade up. That's common sense. Mm-hmm. But they also wouldn't have brought in somebody like Drew Lock, who has more talent, no disrespect, to our guy Tommy DeVito. Like, they knew at some point the rubber was going to meet the road, and they're going to have to say, all right, yeah, we got Pullen. They knew that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have signed Drew Lock.
I think if Daniel Jones plays like he did yesterday, if he plays like that in the first half in Washington, they got to bench him.
That's
they
what
gotta,
I just
they
said.
Pull, yeah, pull him from the game. I'm saying, though, you can't say that. Now, you could reassess and see how Drew Lock looks after that game.
Yeah.
But there's a lot that could happen. I would not bench him now. And also, like I said, I wouldn't have had him on the team.
I understand. You've been vocal about that. So yeah. We're saying the same thing. Right. I'm saying start him against the Commanders. Right. If I see that again, you're out.
Well,
you're
out. You got to try to win a game.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I'd be benching him for good, depending on how Drew Lock looks.
PT and Sal back on the fam. All right, Sal, we are joined by our buddy Jonathan Casillas, former Giant, and he lets it rip pre and post every week, part of the Giants broadcast team. And Jonathan, the Giants got absolutely rolled. We went through this, of course, you know this. How long would you wait before pulling the plug on Daniel Jones?
Well, I think you got to give him at least one more game, and so be it. The Commanders, where Daniel Jones has actually had pretty good games against throughout his career. So this is like, you know, I would say a couple of games in, if you asked me before the season the same question. But now it's like after the performance in week one, if he doesn't play well in the Commanders game, it's like, all right, what are we doing here?
Well, I disagree. I mean, what you're doing is you're playing the guy who you gave a ton of money to. Now, listen, he's not perfect. We all know that. I don't think option number one behind him, Lock, is the real answer. I don't think it's DeVito, with all due respect, even though he's from here and I'm rooting for him. I don't think he's that guy. I mean, I think that Daniel Jones has earned the right to at least shed the rust and learn how to trust his knee and get used to some new weapons before. Because, Jonathan, once you bench him, he's banished for good, man. That's it.
I agree with you, but this is my thing, right? You look at the first four games, you look at the scheduled quarters, right? And now it's the extra game at the end, which I love because it ends up being some incredible matchups in that last week, you know, to slate the whole playoffs. And I love the whole thing. But quarters is, you know, you break the season up to quarters. It's the first quarter. And you look at the first quarter, you look at the first two games, you're like, okay, those are very winnable games. Nobody knew Deshaun Watson wasn't going to be him anymore, you know. So that game is looking more like a winnable game. But then the Cowboys, they're rolling as they do every season at the beginning of the season. They're rolling. And if you have poor quarterback play the first 3 weeks and you manage to go 0-3, when the Giants come back at home on Thursday Night Football, they will boo him as soon as he gets in the game. They're not going to wait for him to throw a bad pass. So that's the only thing I'm thinking about in terms of when the Giants play back home after the next 2 weeks they're away. Like, what is that reception going to be? You know what I mean? You know our fans here. Like, I was at the stadium. It was amazing. Oh, my gosh. The pregame was amazing. The ceremony was amazing. The Giants did a really But the product on the field did not match up.
Yeah, but it wasn't just Daniel Jones. It wasn't just Jones. Now, I know you could bench one quarterback, and it's tougher to bench 10 other guys. But, I fundamentally disagree with what you're saying here. If you run the operation based on what you think the fans are going to do, what are you doing?
No. I'm just saying, like, that's just how it's going to be, like, received. And it's like, if it's like that, I'm telling you, it's not always about the fans. It's about the temperature. It's about feeling how it is, right? Everybody's okay with allowing some mistakes in week one. So that's why there's not too many people out there saying you need to get rid of him week one. Because if you put that performance, what he did, and if you, not even the numbers, I'm not looking at the numbers. I'm talking about how he looked. He didn't look like he was ready. And that's a very scary situation because I've seen Daniel Jones in the past play poorly, but he never played like that. It was a different thing that I've never seen before. You know, easy passes thrown in dirt, behind, timing was off. Just like, and it was like, yeah, I'm used to kind of some decision-making that was questionable.
Yep.
But the ball placement, which was like, it was absolutely horrendous. And then you expect drops, but not that many drops. You expect penalties, but not that many penalties. Like, the Giants kind of like, it's like they make it worse. It's like, yeah, we expect a couple mistakes, but not every drive. Like every drive on offense, they made multiple mistakes, penalties, drives. It was just, it was very hard to watch. Yes, you can't blame it all on Daniel Jones, but you know what? When things are rough for other teams and nobody can play right, the ball, you know, fumbles are happening, nobody can hold on to the ball, the quarterback gets them settled. He makes the plays to get them down the field and get some points on the board. Daniel Jones was only able to do that twice with two field goals, and both of them were short fields.
Yeah, Daniel Jones looked awful, and I'm not looking to bench him. I'm not even talking about long-term, Jonathan. I feel like I know what Daniel Jones is. I'm curious, though, and now we know what you think. Obviously, we know what BT's think. What do you think Brian Daboll will do if, now this is a hypothetical, of course, but let's just say that Daniel Jones in the first half in Washington on Sunday looks like he did week one. Do you think, at least in the short term, Daboll will yank Jones from that game to try to create a spark or go with, you know, Drew Lock and see what he can provide if Jones is struggling the way that he did in week one?
I got a feeling, guys, that he's going to let it ride. I think Daboll going to let it ride no matter what it looked like, and it could get real nasty. I think he's going to let it ride. Look, and I'm just trying to put myself in Daboll's shoes, you know, not as me, but as him, because he's a different type of personality. You can see how he handled the media this week. I love how he talks to the media because, like, it's comical. You know, like, he gets asked about Daniel Jones specifically, and he puts it on a team, which I love. But then you ask him about Jaden Daniels, and he has, like, the most intricate, detailed explanation on his skill set. And it's amazing to see. And I'm just sitting there like, I don't know how long everybody's going to get away with all of the things that we're doing here in New York. You know what I mean? Like, I've been around. I was around as a young kid, with Kerry Collins, and well, before Tom Coughlin got there, and Fossil was here, and it was like the Giants coaches were always on the hot seat, even the years that they won Super Bowls. So it's not like that's out of the norm. You know what I mean? Like, this is not like strange territory. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's interesting to see what happens next, because it's a chess move in terms of, are you winning games? Do you have the right quarterback? What do you say to the media? Do you actually believe in him? Like, those are all questions that I'm sure that everybody's asking, and even Daboll is probably asking himself too. So it's a funny situation. And like, guys, I told you I had to take my emotions out of it, expectations all the way down. And I'm not sad this week. I'm just very entertained about what's going on. And I was like a little nervous about this conversation, because I was like, I don't want to say anything crazy and get myself fired, because we all saw what we saw.
Yeah.
We all saw that. You know, it's like, all right, so let me just
be
careful.
Well, they did it. It's not your fault. It's not our fault. Yeah. They did it. I mean, they're the ones who went out there and laid the egg. I mean, yeah. You weren't playing. Now, here's what I would ask you, though, Jonathan, before we move on to maybe Washington and what they have in store here for week two. We watch this offense. I do believe in Brian Daboll as being a good head coach. We saw him have success even with Daniel Jones as a quarterback. They bring in Malik Nabers. Whose fault is it? And I'm not looking to, you know, rail on somebody here, but is this on Daboll? Is it all on Jones? We were told the offensive line was better. We know about the weapons that they have, and they still cannot move the football at a level that you would expect an NFL team to do that. Does Daboll need to take more of a hit? Is this just on quarterback play? What do you think is the main reason for the Giants' offensive struggles consistently?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, guys, it's clear. It's blatant. It's the quarterback play. It's the play at quarterback, right? Look, Daniel Jones, I think he earned his contract, because it's all about timing in the NFL with contracts. That's why Dak just got that big deal. You couldn't not give him the deal, because he's been stacking up years and years of really just like good, really good seasons. Just very good passing yards, not that many interceptions. Well, he had 1 year of high interceptions where he like had led the league. But like, touchdowns was there, like offense was always prolific, top 10 every single year, and he had to get paid that much money. Daniel Jones won the first playoff game in 10 years for the Giants, and the timing was right. He got missed up on, passed up on for the fifth year option, and the timing was right. But now it's like, all right, what do we do now? Because he can't continue to play like that, because the Giants will not win a game, guys. Like, what they did on last week, what they did that whole game, not even the first half, what they did, because the complimentary football wasn't there, mind you. They signed Gunnar Olszewski. They made sure they had a good punt returner. He gets hurt pregame, They put Slayton in because he's a reliable guy, but it ended up being like the last few years where you fumble on special teams. And now defense, we're expecting a lot from the defense, like we all are. Bro, I was at the 100th, the ceremony. I watched it from the press box. It was magnificent. You know who they did last? The linebackers. You know why? Because defense is everything in New York. It's everything. And the defense, I wouldn't say they didn't show up, but they didn't play the dominant ball that they need to play with a struggling offense. And they're capable of doing it. Yeah. But we didn't see the guys that we've seen play at high levels at times. We didn't see them play like that last week.
Well, that was the most frustrating part for me. Now Kayvon didn't show up. And Kayvon, I got to be honest with you, we really spent a lot of time on this because they played so poorly. His post-game reaction, I'm not trying to pick on him, but he was asked a very good question, and he dismissed it and scoffed at the reporter. Dude, this is year three. You're good, not great. You're one-dimensional. I thought that was out of bounds for a young kid still trying to earn some stripes. What was your opinion on that?
I laughed because I'm right there. So you know, in the press box, I'm getting all of those interviews in the middle of us talking. You know, so we're actually bringing in the interviews and reacting to right after the comments. And I'm just like, yo, like these guys, I think it was Jordan Renan that asked that question, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was.
He was like, anybody else? And he dismissed them. And then even Dexter, like, listen, the guys are frustrated, and they're frustrated in week one.
After one game?
Yes, of course. That's what you're hearing.
I mean, how fragile are they?
I don't think it's fragile. I just think that the guys love the game so much and they want to win. And it just looks like winning is not that.
That's awesome.
I wouldn't say easy because they know it's not easy, but it's like it's a lot more difficult than they thought. And I don't know if they're saying like it's because of one person, like everybody else is, but they might be feeling that, and that's a bad feeling to have. That's a really bad feeling to have.
I'm going
to
give Kayvon Thibodeaux the benefit of the doubt for what he said. I don't care what he said in the post game, if it's sensitive, if it's not, if he had an issue with the question. What I care about is him showing up on game day, and he didn't do enough of that, clearly, on Sunday week one. He's going to have to do that week two, and not just him, obviously everybody else, but I do believe in Brian Burns. I think he's a beast. Even in that game, you could see that he's a beast. He just got, the Vikings offensive line handled the Giants. Can they, Jonathan, handle what I believe to be a team? I watched some highlights of Washington and Tampa Bay. I know they get squashed by Tampa, but Washington can move the football. Daniels is a dual threat. Robinson's a good back. Eckler, they have some receivers. McLaurin.
Yep.
If they...
Zach Ertz is there.
In your opinion, Jonathan, as a defensive guy, can the Giants be able to put pressure on Daniels and also prevent Daniels from getting outside the pocket and breaking big runs on them? Because I think this game's going to come down to defense for the Giants.
Yeah, it must come. Every game for the Giants is going to come down to the defense until Daniel Jones figures out how to play quarterback again. Like, that's the bottom line. Because, look, they got rid of a generational running back. I'm sorry to say it. He proved it on Thursday or Friday night in Brazil to all the fans that didn't know who Saquon Barkley was in South America. You're welcome, because he looked phenomenal, you know. And it's like you move on from him and you go with Daniel Jones. And I was all for it, guys. You know, I was all for it. But I'm like, the proof has to be in the pudding, and let's see what he does. 2023 was abysmal, and now the first game of the 2024 season, we're all trying to just figure out who Daniel Jones really is, and he's proven something different. So, like, as of right now, if he doesn't improve his play, the defense has to be dominant, or the Giants won't survive. They won't. Like, guys, it was so uncompetitive. They were the stands were empty at the end of the third. It was hard. It was hard again. And we were talking about how hard it was last year. It was like it was last year, and they were booing early. I don't think they ever booed that early last year. Maybe the Dallas game. I don't know. But it was really hard to be a part of. And I think, look, the defense was the one that made the plays early in the game to get the crowd louder than I've heard them in years. And I was so excited, and then it quickly dudded out because of a sputtering offense that can't move the ball, that can't hit receivers. The ball's on the ground. They're getting penalties. They're getting holding calls. It's like almost the same old, same old. And look, the defense has to play at a high level, and they have the guys to do it. But the first thing I said after the game, guys, I said Kayvon didn't have a stat.
No.
That's the first thing I said.
Oh, he had one stat. He had one.
He had a pressure. Yeah,
no, he had a stat. He had a stat. He had one flare up in the post game scrum.
Andy had a penalty too.
I know.
And like, look. I've been a part of penalties. Some of them, you know, are like bang bang plays. But when you don't do too much in the game and you have a penalty,
yeah,
like you got to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, all right, how do I get on the stat board? How do I make an impact on this game and not negatively? You know, and that's just man to man, like looking at yourself. That's something you have to do. I played this game long enough to understand that everybody has good games, bad games. But when you're playing on the defense or the offense that's struggling, you literally can't afford to do that. Like, it's very costly to do that.
So it's Jonathan Casillas, of course, former Giant, couple of years here, broadcast team, pre and post show every Tuesday with us here, BT and Sal on the Fan. This is the last thing for me, and I didn't even, just the way you describe things, I didn't even think I was going to go here, but I have to. The way I hear you talk, the way I hear what LT said, Phil, Carl Banks, like, it's one thing, sometimes, like, you could be apathetic toward a situation, sometimes you could just be angry. What I'm hearing from all these Giants legends, you're saying it today, it's almost like sadness. Like, you're embarrassed of where the Giants are. Is that a misrepresentation? It sounds that way.
You know what I mean? But like I said, it's rough, guys. it's rough. You know, I'm a people person, and I know a lot of people, you know, not just Giants people. You know, and being in this region, Philadelphia fans and Dallas fans are all over the place. I feel like they're pitying me right now.
Oh boy.
I don't like that feeling. You know what I mean? But like I said, I've turned my emotions down. I've cut my expectations all the way off. And now I'm just sitting here trying to analyze. And like I said, it's entertaining to me to see the post game interviews. It was like, cause I've been there before. Like, I know that feeling. I wouldn't say what he said, but I know that feeling. You know what I mean? And now I'm in a funny position because I'm not too far removed from the players. You know, like, I was a player not too long ago. I was doing interviews like that not too long ago. But this was the most discouraging thing, guys. When the defense made a stop late in the game, they just kind of walked up the field with their head down. And I was like, oh, this is really bad. And I said that in the postgame. I'm not, you know, saying anything new. I said that in the postgame because somebody asked about what do you do on film. And it's like, it's not even about the film. It's not about the film. It's the stuff that film does not get. The film doesn't get you walking between the huddles. It doesn't get that. It only gets the play.
Yeah.
I saw some stuff between the huddles that were very alarming. It's not good. And it can change because it's early. But
whoa, how's that not on the coach?
I think it is.
Let's talk about it. If you, I don't know what's going on in between the huddles. I mean, but if they're not focused, I mean, it's week one. What kind of camp did you run? How is this team not ready to play?
It's on the coach, but it's on every single player in that locker room. It is. It has to be. Bro, this is a talented roster in terms of players here and there, right? You have some stars, some studs. Did you see what Dexter Lawrence did in the game?
Yeah, he was a beast.
He's the man. He's awesome.
Did he not show that he's probably the best defensive player in the league?
He's a beast.
Oh, my gosh. Like, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, we're about to kill these guys. But then this is the thing. There are certain positions.
And then Daniel Jones sat down on the field.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
But listen, there are certain positions, like defensive tackle, where you can actually double-team him and cause hell for him. Even with that, he still was splitting double-teams, which is crazy. But, like, you can kind of do things that go away from him, which they did. They didn't try to go up the middle. They tried to run up the middle the first play of the game. That got stopped. And then he sacks your quarterback because your center or guard or anybody on the line cannot block him one-on-one. And then they start switching it up. So that's where Kayvon Thibodeau shows up. That's where Brian Burns shows up. That's where, you know, Pinnock shows up. All of the guys that are playing and that are fitting into these run fits. Where are you guys at? Because Dexter Lawrence is taking up two. He's taking up two. So it gets worse as game goes on if your defense doesn't believe that your team can win.
Pretty good year for the Giants.
Yeah. If you think that your team can win, you will play beyond the fourth quarter. You will play till like they say, all right, guys, you lost or you won. The game's over. All right. I'm not saying the guys quit, but the energy level matters. All right. Remember 2016? That was the pretty good year for the Giants. Went to the playoffs. The boat trip happened. Boston, Green Bay, blah, 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 blah.
I felt like
like, because I picked and he was fumbling the ball. And I love Eli, like we all do. And I think he can win us games, so I never not believed in him. But when he would fumble, the defense used to get up and yell and run on the field. Maybe it was just me. I might have been the only one doing it. But I felt like other guys were doing it, too. I felt like we got to match what this defense is doing. If the defense got two fumbles, we got to get three. You know what I mean? Like, it was things that you have to do. And if you've been like, oh, my God, again, like, literally, like, it'll just take the energy from the sidelines. And if you don't allow that to happen, and that's me being a player, that's why I cannot put it on the coach, because I did it personally. Like, I personally did that. So I'm not going to put it on the coach, because at the end of the day, he can't play it down. It's on the players. They have to do it. And they have the – I think they have a great locker room. I just feel like the pressure is on them right now, and they're not handling it correctly. And I'm going up with some of the things that they said in the media and just kind of how the body language was later in the game. And for me, that was the most discouraging thing. It wasn't about the X's and O's. It was about that.
You know, maybe the only thing that looked good on Sunday was your fit, Jonathan, as you rolled up to MetLife wearing an LT. I've never seen this before. Black Lawrence Taylor throwback jersey.
Drippy.
That's pretty, yeah, black. I've never seen a big blue jersey in black. I usually like the white myself. You get LT to sign that, Jonathan?
Nah, you know what? I'm so disappointed in myself that I didn't make more of an effort to be around the guys, because I had to work. Yeah. You know, and I had to be upstairs the whole time, and I don't bounce around to, like, suites or anything like that. I'm locked into the game, and I'm like, man, and not even to get the jersey signed, just to be around greatness. Like, at the end of the day, guys, let's be real about this. The Giants legends are absolutely top tier. Mm. Top tier legends. Quarterback position, linebacker. I mean, JPP was there. He's honored, and they went crazy standing next to Justin Tuck, O.C. Amanyura, George Martin. Like, bro, these are, like, legends. Like, and it was so cool just to be in the stadium. And then the game came on. And then...
reality happened.
That's what makes it more painful. The great history. 100-year anniversary. You get that slop week
Happy
one.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, that was terrible.
Hey, Jonathan. Great spot, man. Really great spot. Hopefully this thing turns fast. Otherwise, I think we could have a few more of these conversations. But hopefully not. Go and go take care of the Commanders. We'll get you back up next Tuesday. Thank you, brother.
All right, fellas. Take it easy.
You got it.
He's the man, dude.
I love him. He fits in awesome. I got to tell you, I think we might have to kind of expand this conversation a bit. Like, when a former player who's in the booth is talking about energy level in week one?
Yeah, I don't know if it's that big of a deal.
I mean, that's what he said.
No, I know. I'm just saying it is week one. You know, it's central preseason. We could expand the conversation. We come back
into
it.
Tell me week 15, if you're en route to the third overall pick, it's a little more acceptable. Week one coming off that season last year? Can't be happening.
Should it be Drew Lock? No, it should be Tommy DeVito.
It should be?
To me, it should be Tommy.
First of all,
Drew Lock is banged up. Like, we don't know how serious this oblique injury is.
But he was the backup last week.
I know he was, because Drew Lock was brought here, in my opinion, to be the backup if Daniel Jones gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But if it gets to a point, he's not playing before week four, regardless, because I think, honestly, this goes out a month. But if it gets to that point and you're like, Daniel Jones is not the guy, we have to go forward, is it Drew Lock's not your future either? You know what I mean?
Like, he's very unlikely your future, but so, he is 27 years old. He's not 35.
He's not old, but he started not a lot of games, but he started enough games in this NFL to say, is he a viable full-time starter long-term? And I don't know. But Tommy, I really don't know.
And I agree with you about the I don't know, but let's keep this in mind, okay? First of all, just so we have the ages on this. Tommy DeVito is 26. Drew Lock is 27.
Yes.
Now, granted, Drew Lock's going to turn 28 in about a month.
Right.
So he's almost 2 years older than Tommy DeVito.
The age doesn't even matter. It's almost more of the what's the potential ceiling?
Yes.
The future ceiling. Forget the age. That doesn't mean a thing. It's where can you potentially go to? And Drew Lock is now on his third team.
Yeah, the only reason I would disagree that the age is still a thing is if a guy's 35 years old, you, other than being Rich Gannon,
Yeah.
That's it. When you're 27 years old, even though Lock has gotten the opportunity in Denver and Seattle, a limited opportunity but an opportunity, he's still young enough where, like Geno Smith,
right,
maybe you put it together. That's the only reason why I disagree. I think age does matter, but here's the way I would view it. I still want to win. And that's where I think Tiki and Lugie are on my side on this.
Yes.
You're still trying to win games.
Yeah, you have to put the best player to give you the chance to win.
I'm not like Sean. I don't think Lugie, you're like Sean about thinking about tanking. You're thinking about, I want to win games.
Right, but here's the thing. Who gives you the best chance to win?
I would say Drew Locke at this point. That's where we're going to disagree, me and Lugie, and maybe me and you, Teague. For now, I would still say Drew Locke's played games in the NFL. He's won 9 games in the league.
But he hasn't been great.
That's Tommy DeVito?
Tommy was really interesting last year.
Interesting.
But interesting against on a team that was shot. It wasn't just a quarterback that was shot last year. Everybody was shot.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line was decimated. The wide receiving core felt one trick. Saquon was banged up a little bit, even though he played most of the season. Like, it was just shot. So, to me, it's hard to evaluate what I think Tommy's ceiling. I have no idea what Tommy's ceiling is. But if you start 0-4, shouldn't you try to find out?
I think at 0-4, I'm still trying to win. There will come a point in which I'm totally with you about evaluation and seeing what he's got. But early in the season, and 0-4 is still early. By the way, we're well before 0-4. We're 0-1.
They won 3 games and beat a playoff team with DeVito. You can't say that you're not trying to win by playing Tommy DeVito.
No, I'm saying I think you have a better chance to win with Drew Locke. That's all I'm saying.
He was drafted after Daniel Jones, has been worse than Daniel Jones in his career, played that first preseason game through one of the most horrific picks I've ever seen, and that includes all the Daniel Jones picks I've seen. I have a hard time thinking Drew Locke becomes Rich Gannon
here. Why is he the backup here?
Hell yeah, Yankee baseball tonight. The first of a 4-game series against the Boston Red Sox. 7:15 first pitch. Yankee Sox. More on that a little bit later on. As well as an appearance from the legendary Bad Tiki, who makes his return. Made his return last week. He'll be with us at 4:30. Now, Sean Morash tweeted something out the other day. Most of you probably didn't see it, so I will do the best to describe it. And that was after the Giants lost Week 1 embarrassingly to the Minnesota Vikings. Sean went on his kick that the Giants have to just tank, lose a bunch of games, so they could draft a quarterback. So he created these wonderful images on social media. One that says, arson the season for Carson, that's the reason. And he's talking about the guy from Georgia.
Carson Beck.
So he has this cool image of arson this season for Carson. That's the reason. And then he's got one, don't win for Quinn. Of course, he's talking about Quinn Ewers. So Sean put that out there, you know. And a giant legend, a man who is ranked in the top 100. You want me to tell you the number? Nice. 69.
Of course.
Nice. The great Brandon Jacobs saw this and says, this is uncalled for. And I agree. So, ladies and gentlemen, giant legend Brandon Jacobs to lecture our man, Sean Morash. Brandon, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas. I really appreciate you guys.
What's up, BJ?
Oh, Teak, man. Just here, man. Living life, man. Or as most say, letting life live.
I hear you. So, tell me why you were so upset. Or tell Sean, not me, because I didn't do this. This was Sean putting wood on the fire.
It didn't really upset me as much as Week 1. We're talking about Week 1. Yes, Daniel Jones played bad. He did not have a great game. The line blocked pretty well. I thought the line looked really good. They didn't run the ball that well, but Daniel Jones played bad. He's a human being. He is a human being. He had a bad game. Pete, I've had bad games. You've had bad games.
Doubt.
Everybody, they have had bad games. Yes, Daniel Jones has had his share of bad games, obviously. But it's Week 1, and I think going into panic in Week 1, I think it's not warranted. You know, yes, they tired of looking at Daniel Jones. Yeah, Eli Manning gave you 2 Super Bowls, right?
Yep.
But Eli Manning had bad games as well. they wanted him to be gone, too.
That's true.
You know,
and
now you're talking about taking a chance and getting a guy from college, tanking for a guy from college. Well, check this out. The San Francisco 49ers, I think, has had a very good last 2 or 3 years with a guy who's Mr. Irrelevant. They didn't tank for him. They just took a chance. They had to take a chance because they had injuries. You know, I wish people would take pages out of the 49ers book when they're not forced to.
Yeah.
Let's try to draft a guy in the 5th, 6th round and give him an opportunity and see what he does.
Oh, so you mean you like Tommy DeVito? That's what that sounds like.
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna go as far as saying all of that. I think
my bad, BJ. I don't want to put words in your mouth. My bad.
yes, you most definitely. But I think Tommy DeVito gave the Giants fans a little bit of excitement. One, the guy's from Jersey.
he's from Jersey, so that had a lot to do with it.
Right.
Right? He came in that thing playing with some swag. He threw the ball around. He made some plays on his feet. You know, that's what they wanted to see. You know, they wanted to see anybody taking a snap under center but eight, and that's what Tom DeVito right. did.
Sean, what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, first of all, Brandon, nothing but respect, but with all due respect, as a Giant fan here, all right? Look, if you're telling me they get the next Brock Purdy in the seventh round, I sign up for it. I know the draft's a crapshoot, but I can't do this anymore. To me, Daniel Jones looked like more than one game at this point. It looks like he's mentally broken. And the way the NFL is trending, they have a whole separate problem where they don't have a lottery. All of these teams trip all over themselves, and the top quarterbacks, like we've seen the last couple of years, go 1, 2, 3, something like that. And the Giants have more holes to fill that I don't necessarily love the idea of them trading up. I'm not telling you the players, by all means, or the coaches should give up, but I'm talking about from a fan's perspective. If it's going to look like that, and he's going to be that mentally broken, I look at all of these teams in the NFL and just know we as a fan base are not going to see quality football. It doesn't matter who the other 52 guys are until we find a quarterback that is not playing scared. He's too scared, Brandon. I'm tired of it.
I understand what you're saying. Obviously, I do. But he's our quarterback. And what are we going to do about it? Tell me which quarterback that got drafted in this last draft who knocked it out the park this past time.
No, I agree with
none.
That. But Brandon, that's what scares me too, because no matter what, when you draft a rookie quarterback, unless it's C.J. Stroud, I know that that rookie year is going to go through growing pains. But the faster we get to that rookie year and deal with that year of growing pains, the faster this organization can get back to the glory days of when you were there. Brandon, think about this. You are an all-time Giant. Evan just said, number 69 on the list.
Nice.
Two Super Bowl rings. All of that. You owe your career. You worked your ass off, and we love you for that. If you played your whole career and were dealing with, like, Brady Quinn at quarterback and not Eli, you don't nearly have the memories you have. It's almost unfair to the other 52 guys on the roster that it's another year of this.
I understand everything you're saying. I'm not saying you're wrong. Yes, the guy played like
Oh, I love VJ. I love you, VJ. That's awesome.
I understand that. Yes, yeah. He didn't look great standing in the pocket. I understand all of that. But he is who we have. And to continue downing him when he's reading and listening to all of this is like we don't ever want him to do good.
Right.
We don't ever want the guy to do good. He has to live with this. He has to play in this franchise for the rest of the season. How about support the guy? And try to, you know, encourage him the best you can. Because he is who we have.
All right.
And just be careful with the curses. By the way, I curse plenty on Sunday as well with the same word. So, look, there's two things can be true, right? I'm going to sit down on Sunday like I do every week, and I'm going to root so hard for Daniel Jones to succeed. But then there's also that reality part of what ultimately is Daniel Jones suddenly going to light bulb go off, become one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league and lead this team to the promised land. So I think two things can be true. We could support him. There's nothing you could do right now, but ultimately understand, and that's all I was putting out there, that honestly, I can't feel the sting of the pain of the losses as much anymore. I understand that might ultimately get us nearer to our goal is by losing games. So I'm going to root for him to win. I'm going to root for Daniel Jones to succeed. But in the back of my mind, I know what I put out there ultimately is probably the quickest path to success again for this franchise. So I think two things can be true.
Okay, so let's go to the draft. Let's play GM.
Mm-hmm.
Who in this draft at quarterback who's coming out of college this year could be someone that you think that will take the Giants in the next 2 years to the promised land, 3 years to the promised land, outside of Carson Beck?
I like Quinn Ewers from Texas, and I'm intrigued by Cam Ward from Miami.
Shedeur Sanders?
I like Shedeur Sanders. I didn't like the way he handled himself post-game in Nebraska, so I'm putting him to the side right now.
Yeah, good point. By the way, BJ, real quick, where's your son going?
My son is going to Clemson.
Clemson.
Wow.
He's going to Clemson. BJ's kid is a big boy.
I'm not surprised.
Big time.
Well, position?
He's a left tackle, right?
Left tackle. He's standing 6'8", 330-ish.
He's 17.
That's a good boy, man.
He's 17.
Wow.
Yeah, but listen, I have my problems with him as well. I'm dealing with some issues with him right now, too. He don't understand what I'm telling him when I need him to kill people.
He needs that BJ killer instinct.
Yeah, he needs to plant them into the ground. It's so easy for him to get his block.
Right.
And he don't have to really work. Like, he just put his hand out there and the running back passed by.
Right.
He's okay with that. I'm not okay with that.
Right.
Wow.
Brandon's the guy I had to tell to stop taking all the hits. Like, BJ, you're not going to play long if you take all them hits. So he did it selectively. Most of the time when he was taking my touchdowns away.
Yes.
But it's all good.
You can't say I'm taking touchdowns away. What I can think, I consistently told all of you guys, you, Amani, all of y'all, you guys got to work on your speed. You break away and get down the field and get stopped at the one. That's not my fault.
That's a fair point. That's a good point.
That's true.
Is there any point this year, we're talking to the great Brandon Jacobs, where you as a Giant fan now would say, you know what, we're better off losing. The season's over. We suck. I want to get a higher pick. Like, is there any point now on the other side of things where you would understand that, hey, let's lose, we're better off?
No, there's nothing in me to say that. Because you know what? I think we put too much on the quarterback position, number one. If I was a GM, I would never take a quarterback with my first pick. There is a plenty of guys in the draft, later on in the draft, that you can give an opportunity to. See, there's great quarterbacks in the draft that get drafted to teams with really good quarterbacks who never get an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And their confidence is going up for 3 or 4 years, so you never really know what it is that they have. And no, I'm not saying everybody's a San Francisco 49ers team that go get a guy and everybody gets hurt. But that's the only time a guy that gets drafted in the fifth or sixth round as a quarterback can get an opportunity if somebody gets hurt. I would like the Giants personally go after a guy mid draft and give him an opportunity to come in and be a starter for you, and you never know what happens.
Right. It's all about the
quarterback with your number one pick.
So much of it is a circumstance. Some of them at BJ is a circumstance. It's who's teaching them. Who's the head coach? Who's the quarterback coach? Who's the offensive coordinator? Who can make it, I don't want to say easy. You know, Tom Brady said this, and I'm sure you saw these comments where he said quarterbacking has been dumbed down in the NFL. Who cares if it's dumbed down? It's letting these guys be successful.
That's it.
Right? I mean, just, yeah. And so much of playing this game is about knowing, or not even knowing, just thinking you can do it. Like, as soon as you think you can do it, nobody could tell you nothing at that
nobody
point.
Can tell you otherwise.
Right. And so quarterbacks in particular need to be in situations where they have easy early success. And that's, to me, coaching.
No, you're right about that.
And you know what? And I think the 49ers have the weapons around.
Yeah.
Purdy to make him look great and a good coach, you know, to develop him. You know, but I'm just not a fan of all of this quarterback, $500 million. I'm not a fan of all of that with the quarterback, because if you take so many people off of that team, then they can't be who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of why Niners...
I'm just not a fan of the quarterback getting all his attention.
And think about the Niners' success. Brock Purdy has a cap of like $1 million.
Right.
Yeah, so they haven't paid him yet, and it allows them to pay everybody else, including a running back like Christian McCaffrey, and they're loaded with talent.
Right, and that team is good.
Yeah.
The team is good. They're always there, you know, I guess, and that's why, because they haven't given the quarterback $250 million with $125 million of that guaranteed, and now you've killed your cap, and now you can't pay anyone else, and now you're back picking first.
I'm a quarterback that you just paid all of that money for. I'm very glad that you did this, because every time Tiki tries to tell Sean, or even I try to tell Sean, he doesn't listen to us. But right. I think you have gotten through to him, Brandon, and we very much appreciate that.
Thank you, BJ.
I don't think I got through to Sean. He's very on head. Like, you can hear it in his voice.
You definitely didn't, Brandon, but I still respect what you tried.
Thank you, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon, good luck to Braden, and tell Quinn and wifey I said hello.
Thank you. All right, T. You guys have a good one.
Thank you, man. The great Brandon Jacobs. Now, I have a scoreboard for the Lugash debate series that keeps track when they have debates. It's currently 2-1 Morash. I've added Jacobs. So now it's 1 for Jacobs, 0 for Morash. Would you agree that Brandon won that debate?
I would agree.
Yeah, kicked your ass.
Reason.
My ass? He thinks we're going to get Brock Purdy. What, is he nuts?
Well, I didn't agree with everything.
To the business.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots
of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.